name of that city means body of Christ. And I was talking to Lynette about that, telling her what I was preaching today. I said, you will get it and not very many others will. And I said, I can't believe they haven't been sued. She said, oh, it happens all the time. That people fight that. They don't want that to be the name of a city in the United States of America. The body of Christ. For this month, for the month of February, I'm going to be preaching sermons on the body of Christ. Just so you know, that's, I will admit, you know, we try to not over-orchestrate. I was reading last night, Holiness and Healing, and he has a paragraph in there, and it says, nothing wrong with having an order of service, but hold it loosely. And that's a good thing. I did ask for that song to be sung because, obviously, it should already be connecting now. Body of Christ is what we're talking about. I love that song, but it makes me feel so, number one, inadequate. I am inadequate to even be a preacher. It also makes me feel like we don't ever, ever reach what God wants reached, ever. And I don't know that any church does. I don't know that there could ever be a day. It could be a day. Man, it's only a quarter. It's like 17 minutes after 11. Don't be afraid. I'm just going to leave for a minute, and I'll come back. Acts chapter 2. 120 people in the upper room. 10-day prayer meeting. I cannot tell you they prayed for 10 days without stopping. I just know that they prayed and kind of hung around for 10 days. Maybe they would say, what's God saying to you right now? Jesus is gone. I don't know. I mean, do you realize this is like brand new? They had nothing to go by. And so all they knew to do was pray. Just pray. On the day of Pentecost, it's Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Tongues, cloven tongues as a fire, sat on each one of their heads. They were able to speak in other languages, and they went downstairs. There were people from about 14 countries there, proselyte Jews who had come, and it says each one heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. They heard them speaking. These guys were all Galileans. They talked like they had southern accents, only it would have been northern accents. They gave them away all the time. Galileans talked funny. And they go downstairs and they start speaking in other languages. It was crazy. And the Bible says about 60 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was 120 in the room. About 60 of them were filled with the Spirit. Have you ever read that verse? Has anybody ever looked that up? It's not there. It wasn't 60 of them. And it wasn't 90 of them. And it wasn't 119 of them. It was 120 of them. All were filled with the Spirit. If there's ever a day in a church, anywhere, where you walk out with a big, in my case, it would be a big, dumb grin, it would be the day the Holy Spirit falls in this place and it doesn't get 60% or 50% or 90% or 99%, but 100%. That day, I might walk out and say, okay, we got there today. We got there today. So how do you come to church? How do you walk in this building in your mind saying, God, what do you want from me today? What do you want of me to make this corporate worship service mean something? I just remembered. I'm getting back to the sermon right now. We're talking today about what, when we say corporate worship, what are we talking about? What do we mean, corporate? It means everybody in the room. We are a corporation of people. That's what we're talking about today. And if you come to be a spectator, I didn't go off on the NFL today. Let me just say something to you. I was listening to a really cool thing on, I think it was on the radio the other day. Did Tim, did he win a Super Bowl? Did they win a, they won something. He was playing football, and he won something. Was it a playoff game? That's what it was. Have you read that? Has anybody else seen that? It's a little thing. That day, you know, he put John 3:16 on that black stuff under his eyes. And that day he had like 316 yards passing. And there was like every stat had 316 in it some way. And this guy called him and asked him, said, have you looked at the stats? And he said, no, I haven't. He did all that. I mean, it was like, they said it was the largest Twitter question going was, what does John 3:16 say? Millions and millions and millions, about 316 million people. No, I made that one up, but it was just crazy, all that stuff. So you know what the NFL's response was? You cannot write on the blackening under your eyes. That's illegal. But if you want to kneel down during the national anthem, we don't want to disrupt that because, you know, that's what it's about to them. And so I wish one brave football player would write John 3:16 anyway and go play football. That's what I wish, because you know what? What hypocrisy. And I could give a rip unless Tom Brady and them get beat. Then I'd give a rip. But that's irrelevant. Yeah. I don't care, and I'm not watching the football game. I have not watched one this year. I have not watched one football game, NFL, this year, and I'm not starting today, and I really don't care. But I wasn't even going to go there, but I just have extra time, so I'm done. When we say corporate worship, are you wondering yet why I brought up Corpus Christi? Corpse. You get body there is corpse, right? Corpus Christi. Corporate worship. The body of Christ. We should be able to say amen and go home right there if you got it. Did you get it? We are, if we are the body, All right, let's go. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint about another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. How many bodies of Christ are there? We might meet in different places, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've done that this morning. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father God, in this place right now, God, we have already sensed your move. We have already sensed your spirit come. Lord, we didn't anywhere near touch what I believe you wanted to do, but it's been good. It's been good already. God, I pray that there are people sitting here right now listening to my voice, but Lord, that they would just kind of tune that out and listen to what the Holy Spirit might say. Father, let us hear you today. That was my prayer. That's my prayer, is that we hear from you today. Help us right now, corporately, worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. We spent a month preaching on the theme, the joy of the Lord. Today we swap to the body of Christ. It comes from verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So today we're talking about corporate worship. You should have already gotten it. I tried to not, I'm not having punchlines and holding back. I just went ahead and told you. The root word of corporate is corpse. The root word of corporate is corpse, body. Now, the problem for us is When we say the word corpse, we usually mean dead bodies. And I put myself a note, don't make a bad joke right now. There's tons of bodies meeting around 11 o'clock on Sunday, and I fear they are dead. I fear they are a corpse, laid out, looking good, no breath, no heartbeat. The bad thing is it's not a joke. It's a reality in far too many places. We've somehow missed God in the mix, and it's killing us. It's killing us. It's not the plan. It means body. The word corpse means body, and so we get that. So corporate has to do with a combining, the definition, a combining, an assembly, or a unifying around something. Corporations, big corporations, are businesses that have unified oftentimes many small businesses, and they go together, and that's why you've heard of, I'm trying to think of that word, when they don't like it, when a company's being bought, their stock's being bought up, it's hostile takeover. That's what it's called. See, big corporations say, we're going to make you a part of the body. Then we're going to fire a bunch of your top-level people and use our people. And so people resist that. They don't want to be a part of that body. That's what a corporation is. It's a unifying of smaller companies into one powerful company. There's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. I'm just telling you. So we understand, when you hear the word corporate, don't think of it as a business term. Think of it as the definition, and think of the church as a corporate worship service. People say, well, I can worship God just as good sitting in a tree stand. I don't need to be in church. I hear that. The only problem is there's nothing biblical to support that theory. Nothing biblical. Nothing biblical to support that. If you're on a deserted island, I highly recommend worshiping God alone. Y'all heard, I'm sure. People come, they see smoke, they go to this deserted island, they get off. There's three shacks, two good, one's crumbled down. They said, oh, there must have been somebody else here, and they've died. So they said to the guy, I see three shacks. He said, who else is here? Nobody. You're alone? Yep. Well, how many were here? Nobody. I survived shipwreck, swam here. I've been by myself. They said, well, what's that shack? He said, oh, that middle shack, that's where I live. They said, well, what's that shack? He said, that's my church. They said, well, what's that shack? He said, that's where I used to go, but I left that church. That's the best I got. Even then, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So wherever you go, if Jesus Christ is named, and there's places where he is not named, so I'm not talking about them, but I'm saying the body of Christ ought not be at war with the body of Christ. Amen. We ought not be at war with denominations if they preach the truth. That's just crazy to me, but it's where we live, and so, you know, that's the way it is. All right. So when we come together to worship God, what do you think the main thing we ought to be doing as a body? If we come together to worship God, what do you think the number one thing ought to be? Worshiping God. That seems so easy. I mean, it wasn't even an A, B, or C. It was just an A. If you come to this building on a Sunday morning, you ought to be coming not to hear what I might have to say. Although I'm grateful if you listen and you go, you know, boy, that actually made sense. I'm going to use that. I'm gonna view the way I see things. That's good. You should not come solely for the music. The music is preparatory. We call that in modern church lingo the worship part of the service. Hello? Hello? What am I doing? Hello? This is the worship service too. We're in the Word. This is worship. That's worship. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I know some people, they say, well, you don't sing the songs I like, then you're not worshiping God. Oh, I'm sorry. Could we back that tape up? Tell them, Craig, back that tape up. I don't want that in there. These go out all over the place, and somebody might not get what I said. If you come to hear the songs you like, you are not in here to worship God. I need about 50 more people to say amen. And next week, if we don't sing the songs y'all like, tough for y'all too. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I thought it ought to be about what we like. I don't know who makes that rule. I don't know who makes the rules. I guarantee you, there are people who don't like my voice. I know. Some of you just went into minor shock. What? And then the other problem is I have people who say, I could listen to you talk all day. I love a southern accent. You know, what did I preach on? I love a southern accent. You're not worshiping God either. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you bring here is what you worship with. If you bring a bad attitude, you can't enter in. Now, you can get through the doors. We can't tell. But once you get in here, you're closed up and going, I don't like that. I can also tell you there's some people uncomfortable with altars. I was telling our speaker yesterday, I said, you know, we have altar calls. He was like, man, who designed this church? This is laid out so y'all have made it where you can have church in here. And we were talking about the space. I said, we have altar calls. We want it where you can get out and get to that altar. We believe in that. But I know some people visit us, and their background, you never, ever walked up to the front of the church. I don't know when, but they didn't have altars. And so when they see that happening, they just get really, really uncomfortable. And they go, what are they doing? People are just walking around, and I'm not comfortable with this at all. What did you bring with you to church today? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not being critical of music, any music. Next Sunday morning, there will be a steel guitar up here, and there will be people going, oh, my Lord, have mercy. Take that back to Tennessee or somewhere, Kentucky, somewhere where they like that stuff. I know. I just covered Harold and I both in once. He probably doesn't like steel guitars anyway, but it's just a different thing. It's just something different. And so I will enjoy it, but I'm going to listen to the words, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy going to church, because what you bring should be an attitude of, I'm going to join other people, and we're going to jointly fitted together become one corporate voice, praising God. You know what ought to be going up off of this church right now? Just a sweet and savory incense going up to heaven. That's what they did. That's what you burned incense, and that represented prayer, and it would go up before the Lord, and he would go, good, good, that smells really good. That's what ought to be going up off of this church. And if there's a foul spirit, if there's somebody going, I don't even know why I bother to get up. I come up here and I get mad just walking in. You need to adjust your thinking, not to like it, to love Jesus. You ought to look up and say, God, man, I'm with other people who love you, and we don't have it all down pat. We don't even know what we're doing sometimes. But I love Jesus. That's corporate worship. How many bodies do you suppose are divided over attitudes within the body? I was reading last night, the body should be healing the body. Meaning, this body should be praying for healing. What did we do this morning? That. I know people go, What do you need oil for? Why do you anoint people with oil? Because the Bible says to. It's nothing magic. There's no potion. It's no serum. It's oil. And we just put a drop on somebody's head and we say, in the name of Jesus, because that's what the Bible says to do. We're following the prescription God laid out for healing of the body. But I wonder how many times there's other healings that need to take place within the body, and the hurt is the body, not this body, this body. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the body is fractured, I'm not reading that today, but you know where it says, well, if I'm not an eye, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be no little toe. You put a sock on, you put a shoe on, nobody gets to see me. But look at that eye up there. Everybody sees the eye. I could say the mouth, but y'all would know who I meant. Let's make it big toe, because they're kind of, I don't know if they're more important. We're not talking about importance anyway. That's the whole point. But if you've ever known anybody, especially like a person with diabetes, and they get the disease bad enough, and they start carving on your feet, and they cut your big toe off, and you have to get these shoes that are like real hard and platform, because you can't walk without a big toe. And people go, you pull a sock on me and put shoes on me, and nobody gets to see me until the body's laying down because they just fell because the big toe is needed for balance. It doesn't matter what your job is. How many of you remember John Wilson? Some of you, that's, I'm going back a few years. Jeremy, show me his hand. That's it. That dude, all he had was a thumb. Some kind of farming accident, he cut off all of his fingers. He had part of a palm and a thumb, and he'd walk up, get him a cup of coffee, and go, thumbs are important, people. Thumbs are important. You could have those fingers, and maybe his hand was so big, he could have held a cup without a thumb. He didn't need fingers, he needed a thumb. So if you're a thumb in the body, you're important. You with me? You with me? Whatever part you are, we need you to make the body whole. Whatever part you are, don't say, but I'm not that part. You've missed something in the translation. Everybody is important to the body. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. I got ahead of myself, if you can't tell. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you by some of those of Chloe's household. Did y'all know Chloe was a biblical word? I thought that was a pretty modern name, Chloe. It's right there in the Bible. That's kind of crazy. I've been told by people of Chloe's household that there are contentions among you. Now, I say that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, that's Peter, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The answer is no. No. So we don't chase preachers. We don't say, oh, and I'm not going to point out Aaron, but very kindly people say to me, don't retire. I like whatever, you know, don't retire. I'm going to retire. Not only that, I'm going to die unless Jesus comes back. You can't hinge your relationship with Jesus on people. I paused, folks. Some of us missed it. Got to go back. This, all right, we were shooting at noon. It's leaving pretty quick. I just told myself a joke and I didn't even remember it. That happens to me too. They're brand new. You cannot base your relationship on Jesus to people. Thank you. You cannot base your relationship to Jesus on the color of the carpet. You cannot fill in the blank. How many of you have heard of wars? Y'all have heard Jim Deal in the olden days, went to a church. The church was about to split. He went in and he said, what's going on? He says, well, we put ceiling fans. He said, and? Oh, the church is tore up. And Jim Deal goes, it's what? He was a district superintendent in another state at that time, Nebraska. Figured that out. Sorry, Steve. I'm not even going to look up. I'm just going back. They put ceiling fans, and the church was about to split because half the church said, turn on the fans, it's hot, And half the church said, it's freezing in here. Don't turn on those fans. And they were going to split a church over ceiling fans. Does anybody think that has anything to do with the body of Christ? Or does that have to do with me wanting it my way? Or I'll take my marbles and go play on some other little playground. You can figure out whatever you think I think. Jim Dill, in his sermon where he tells that story, I've heard him preach it two or three times. He says, can you imagine standing on Judgment Day? You remember how we had Judgment Day in here a couple of weeks ago? Can you imagine standing on Judgment Day and Jesus says, so what did you do when you were on the... I took the stand against ceiling fans in the church. Glory to God. They wanted them on, but not me. I held a line just for you, Jesus. He says, you're going to wish you had a ceiling fan. That, I'll just let y'all figure that out on your own. Let's do point two so we can wrap this thing up soon. How we doing? Ah, shoot, fire. We're going to be out by 3 till easy. 3 till 2, that's right. Paul gives a working example of what we're talking about here. Paul gives a working example. Now, we're talking about what he said was, some say, well, you know, man, the person that leads you to the Lord ought to be special in your life. I'm not discounting that, but they're not God. The person who prays with you to accept Jesus is not Jesus. So you don't look at that person wrongly. You looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That was our last week's passage, the joy of the Lord. Whoever leads you, I've been here 26 years in 2 months. First Sunday in April, 26 years I've been at this church. Some of you did not know there were other things called preachers on this earth besides me. Some of you are not 26. I've just been like, my gosh, Mama, he's been there forever. You're right. It's nothing wrong with loving somebody that you've been around. Paul is telling these people, hey, Paul didn't go to the cross for you. Don't get off on this. But he also, I'm just going to touch this and then go on. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you. That does not mean we want to rubber stamp little Nazarene people that all look alike, talk alike, you know, I am going to the Nazarene. No. We're not creating robots, but our minds ought to be in Christ Jesus. No division. We should not argue over, I'm in Hebrews now, I'm not going to go there. We should not argue over the elementary things that we have already settled and they're behind us, we're moving on. All right? So we're talking about, we don't have to be in total agreement, but we can't let any disagreement cause division. That's what we're saying. All right? Now, Paul gives a working example. Verses 12 and 13. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone does have a complaint, remember Jesus had a complaint? Father, they're killing me. Preachers pray that too. Trust me. Y'all are not getting it very good today. They're killing me over here. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He has a complaint to lodge. They just nailed nails in his hands. They beat him with rods and whips. They mocked him. He's hanging there, and the guards now have taken the one thing he owned in his life, a robe, and they said, boy, somebody gave him a pretty nice robe. It was his prayer shawl. They said, this is woven into one piece of material. Let's don't cut it up. Let's gamble for it. The one thing he had was a really nice prayer robe, prayer shawl, and the Roman soldiers who kill him are gambling at his feet, rolling dice to see who gets it. So they didn't want to cut it up. It would unravel. Jesus looks down at that and says, wow, I'm up here dying, and they have left me to gamble to see who can get something out of the deal. He said, God, just strike them with lightning right now and burn them to toast. Father, forgive them. If he says, as Christ Jesus forgives us, If you just won't go there, you'll never have to repent of going there. If you just don't go there, you'll never have to go to somebody and say, boy, I really had a bad feeling and I feel bad. I was in the wrong. I need to tell you that. If you just won't go there, you'll never have to ask somebody for forgiveness again, ever. If you just forgive them, like Jesus did. If they beat you, pull your beard out. Well, if you're a man. Pull your hair if you're a woman. Beat you, drive nails in your hands, hang you up on a cross. Until it's that bad, Paul, that's what Paul said. Did I die for you? No, I did not. Until it's that bad, don't be looking off on the wrong thing. That's all this means. Paul is talking about human beings coming together for a common purpose and overlooking faults and failures while we strengthen the body. That's why we come to church, to strengthen the body. We come to church to sing together. At greeting time, we talk about this all the time. And I realize it's probably even not even that good, but you look across the church and you see somebody that the only time you really see them is right here, because we are the body. And people go taking off, they go up that aisle and they shake hands with somebody, they take off and they go, because we see people we care about in here. We want to shake their hands. We hug them. We say, how you doing? That's the body of Christ doing what it's supposed to do. And those things contribute to, I'm going to use the word edifying, you understand, building up. The word edifying is to build up. We build up the body of Christ. It's like exercise. We come here to exercise our spiritual appetite, and it should make us want more exercise because we feel ourselves getting stronger. Boy, music just broke into my head, and I hate to tell you where it was from. Philadelphia. Dum dum da da dum da da dum dum. Anybody in here ever seen Rocky? Okay, never mind. That didn't go. Dayton got it. Thank you, buddy. He's young. He said, that's an old movie. I was married when Rocky came out. What does perfection mean to you? See what I'm saying right now? The problem, what I'm saying? What does perfection mean to you? Because, see, we make excuses. We say, I can't do that. I'm not that good. Well, then you're choosing that. I'm going to talk about an attainable perfection. Okay. I just said Paul's not that perfect. Paul said that. I'm not that perfect. I'm not good enough. I'm not Jesus. I can't even compete with Jesus. So then we have this verse. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What is a bond? What would a bond be there? Wouldn't that be like a clasp? Wouldn't that be like something that holds you to something? The bond of love is what held Jesus to the cross, and it's what holds us together as Christians. We are one. Remember that song? Isn't that a chorus we sing? We are one in the bond of love. That's the one attribute of God that He gives to us freely enough that it reaches across anything. That's why Paul wrote, and he said, you know what? There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no man or woman. There's no slave or free. There are no races. There's nothing. There's no age barriers. There's nothing. I don't care who it is. I don't care where they're from. How we do? I got to wrap it up. I am as in favor of securing our border as anybody in this room. But I'm also very, very, very loving of Hispanic people. Can't help it. I've told you 10,000 times my story, sitting in a Mexican restaurant. Is it all right to say Mexican? Should I say Hispanic? No, they're all Mexicans. It's fine. Thank you. I'm sitting in a Mexican restaurant, and a couple comes in. They move and sit right beside us because there was only one light. You've all heard this, most of you, some of you haven't. We're sitting here. My wife looks over. The man's drinking beer. Hispanic guy. My wife looks over at his wife and says, "You couldn't see back in the corner, could you?" Pointed up at the light. She said, "No, we needed light." Pointed up like that. My wife turned and I'm bawling. And she said, "What in the world? What's wrong with you?" I said, "They need the light and I can't even talk to them. I can't even say anything to them in Spanish, but I'm going to find me somebody." And we went on a search for Shane Wilson. And there's a Hispanic church in Ottumwa today that runs around 120. And Shane is already gone, and he's growing a big church up in Des Moines. Because God told me, you can't look at people who don't talk the same language or have a different color skin and think anything about them except Jesus died for them too. So, what causes our divisions? We cause our divisions. The bond of love has no divisions. Wow. We read 12 and 13. Verse 14 tells us how to do it. This is a biblical and yet Wesleyan, you know, we're Wesleyan in our theology, Arminian in our doctrine. Perfect love was one of John Wesley's favorites. He looked at that. Let me give you 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Corporate worship, as defined, is not a human tendency. We cannot humanly build up energy or enthusiasm. Well, you can, but it doesn't go any higher than that ceiling. You can drum up something that's not real, but God is not well pleased. Where did I tell you our worship is going? Straight to heaven as a sweet and savory incense. That's what we want. I prayed about how to close the service. I've already told you there are people that they're not that comfortable with coming to the altar, so I'm not giving an altar call today. But I'm going to ask everybody who would to stand up. This will take seconds of time, just seconds of time. I know about the flu. I know about the flu. But I'm going to ask you right now to look each way and move in any direction until you find somebody to hold hands with. Don't be afraid. You got, all right. Reach back there. Reach across the aisle. That's what they need to do in Washington. Reach across the aisle. Look around, people. Look around, church. Look around, body of Christ. If there's someone right now who is not, no one has reached out to them, we cannot have that in this room. We cannot have that in this room, that somebody is standing there going, "Nobody reached for me." Don't let anybody. Thank you. Build the bridge. Everybody good? Oh, man. I love him. Thank you, buddy. I didn't want to really be left out, but I want to be able to see. Anybody not got somebody? We are one in the bond of love. One in the bond of love. Let's pray as we dismiss. Father God, in my heart, I felt like I needed to laugh a couple of times because this is not an easy sermon, but it is so biblical. And it explains to us today why there is so much division. We have let humanity creep in to your church, and dysfunction, disjoint, and separate your body. So God, today, it's easy for me to say, I love everybody, because I know you do. Father, we're not all going to agree in style or taste or method or mode or building, lights, whatever else. But God, we can't agree in this. Jesus Christ is the only one who hung on that cross that it meant something. Pastor Chapman has not died. Pastor Chapman has not suffered to the shedding of blood. So it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and Him glorified. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for Dayton, a young man who was an infant when I first knew him, a baby, And Lord, he's grown in to be a man of God because he is jointly fitted in to your body. Lord, only because I'm holding his hand right now am I praying for him. But as it leaves him, it goes through and across and back and forth and back and forth until it reaches all the way to the very back of this church. And we are one in the bond of love. Dismiss us now as one to go out into that world, to come back next week, to recharge and to corporately worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Thank